You're listening to the podcast of Village Church in Burbank, California. To learn more about Village Church, visit our website at villagechurchburbank.org. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Okay, Village Church, good to be back. One of my favorite things to do in my whole life is to look at the Word of God right here in this church. I grew up here at this church. That's a fun story that I'm not going to talk about. But I do want to say a huge thank you to you guys. I did grow up in this church. Many of you invested in my life and then my family. Chelsea and I had our kids here at this church. I youth pastored for 10 years. We moved on to where now we're your missionaries, like Ryan said, and we're at Gleanings for the Hungry with the Carells. And so just on behalf of our family and the Carell family, thank you so much for your loyal support of just God's work there at Gleanings for the Hungry. For those of you who don't know about Gleanings, you've maybe heard about it. It sounds kind of like a funny word. It's a youth with a mission base up there in the Central Valley of California, beautiful place. And our mission is to feed the hungry of the world, physically and spiritually. And so we host volunteers, kind of like a retreat center, but instead of activities, we work and we make food for the hungry. So we host volunteers, about 3,000 plus volunteers every year. We also grow in Christ as we listen, as we live together in Christian community. So there's about 25 staff that live there on site at Gleanings. And then we have about 15 kids. Some of them are flying the nest and doing new things. So just Christian community is a huge part of what we're doing. There's a picture of Gleanings there in the Central Valley. Beautiful sunrise in the summer. Not only do we live in Christian community, we serve together, processing, packing, and shipping millions of meals. Last year, we made 23 million meals. Wow. 23 million meals. And that meal is like a 32-ounce meal. It might be someone's only meal of the day. We do that to equip Christian missions and the church to meet the needs, meet physical needs and share the gospel. It's just incredible the amount of production and the amount of lives touched at Gleanings. Also, really our goal is to do all of this, but to see people come into a close relationship with Jesus. That is number one. Like, this whole thing is just to see people touched by the gospel as someone reaches out and meets their physical need. Many people, even in our latest newsletter, some of you might receive that, it just says this food is like a key to open the door of people's hearts for a relationship with the Lord. So Chelsea and I, this summer we got the chance. A friend of ours was like, I want to send you guys to Guatemala to see what's happening down there. So we're like, yes, we will go. And so we went. This is actually our anniversary, 21st anniversary. And there's us in Guatemala. So we went down there this summer and we connected with one of our partners, Hope of the Nations. We got to make soup mix. So many stories. It was amazing. There's some videos on our YouTube at Gleanings. You can watch those, but just really got to, we went down there and we told our partner, they said, what do you want to do? Do you want to do this, that? And we said, look, we don't want like a Christian kind of humanitarian tour. We want to meet the people that you love. And so they took us everywhere. And this is Eric and Billy of Hope of the Nations, amazing partner. There's more information about them, but I just wanted to give you a quick snapshot of what's going on at Gleanings. If you haven't been, please come up. We'd love to have you come and serve with us. But ultimately, I just want to say thank you. Thanks for supporting us. I'm actually here not to kind of talk about Gleanings. I'm here to talk about God's Word, which is my favorite. I like it more than Gleanings. I like it more than Gleanings. And one of my favorite passages of all time is John 15. And it's been on my heart. And it's been something that God has been really speaking to me through my time in the garden. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But let's just read it. I don't know if you have any tradition to stand for the reading of God's word, but if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's word, I'm going to read from John 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Amen. You can have a seat. God's word, so good. How many of you love God's word? How many of you guys read it today? Little test. That's good. Being in God's word every day is so good. Man, but it's a challenge, right? There's so many things that want to distract us from God's word. There's so many amazing teachings on this passage. There's so many. And I want you to call to mind all of those incredible teachings. Even Pastor Ryan has done on the Gospels and teachings you've heard during your whole life on the true vine and love your neighbor. My command is this, love one another. John 15. All of those things. But what I want to focus on tonight is he prunes. Everyone say he prunes.
He prunes.
Okay? How many of you know he prunes? He prunes. Man, I want to focus on this part of the scripture. It says every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may be more fruitful. Man, what an incredible, incredible passage. And what a crazy thing that he's giving us this image that he prunes us like branches on a vine. This is kind of my main thought here that I want to get at today. We are made for the Lord, our God, our gardener. We're made for him. We are designed to be pruned by his word to bear fruit in his kingdom. We're made for him. It's in our design. And we'll go through that. So what I want to focus on first is I really felt like I needed to unpack this whole scripture. And then I just really felt the Lord say, no, like I want you to really share from your time in the garden with me. So I have a garden and it's behind my place at Gleanings. And it's kind of where, I don't know if you have a place where when you go there, it's like the Lord just starts to speak to you. The Holy Spirit just starts to, it seems like things are clearer there. For me, that's with my trees. I love my trees, okay? This is me and my trees. I love my trees. I love to spend time with my trees. My kids are always like, where are you? I'm like, oh, I was with the trees. You know, and I'm there and I'm looking at the trees. This was the first year of fruit for this Alberta peach tree. Late July, early August peach. So juicy, so good. I love to walk around them. I love to inspect them. I love to look at the leaves. I love to look at the color of the branches of the trunk, the roots, to look at the trees. And I'm walking around and I have maybe about 10 trees. And then after I look at them, I care for them. I care for my trees. I care for them by planting them really well. Like I try to give them a really great place to grow and be very intentional about how I put them in the ground. And then I water them. And I feed them stinky kelp stuff that my mom sent me. It's like, it gets on me. It's like, but they love it. I feed them. I let them rest. I protect them, I clean them, and I prune them. And pruning has been one of the most difficult things to learn to do for the trees that I love. Pruning these trees that I love. But fruit trees are made for the gardener's pruning shears. They're made for it. Like the tree, it's in their design. So as I'm growing these trees and I want to get some fruit out of these trees, right? I'm so excited. I've discovered that there's a built-in design in these trees. There's a built-in design, and listen to this. There's a built-in design that must be cultivated through making drastic and even often agonizing cuts. Agonizing. I don't use that word lightly, okay? The first time I had to prune a tree, I was like, no! But there's this design inside the tree. It's part of its nature that unless you cut the tree, it will not be fruitful. If you neglect, I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you neglect to prune and cut major stuff off, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You have some fruit trees, okay? My fruit farmers in here, how many of you have a peach tree or a nectarine tree, okay? You guys know what I'm saying. The scripture talks about the vine and the branches. For me, in my backyard, that's peach trees, okay? So I've discovered that there's this built-in design to these trees that must be cultivated. It must be cultivated with agonizing cuts. My farmer friend, they donate a lot of fruit to gleanings. And I was asking him, I'm like, how do you get fruit? How do you get the best fruit out of the tree? And this is what he told me. His name's Don Clausen. He said, don't even think about fruit for 3 years. Don't even think about fruit for 3 years. You're going to spend time pruning this tree way back. Okay, you're going to be working on the design of the tree. And pruning, like as I had my little tree and it's growing and leafing, even a couple pieces of fruit on there, he's like, cut them all off. Cut all that off. All the beautiful little blossoms, pink. The peach trees have pink blossoms in the springtime there. And he's like, cut all that off. Just cut them all off. I'm like, no, I want fruit this year. But pruning seems so hard because, like, what I discovered is that, like, I thought, like, when I read the scripture, I'm like, oh, I'm going to prune off all the stuff that's not alive. I'm going to prune off all the stuff that's dead that I obviously don't want. That was so wrong. That was so wrong. Like, when I first pruned my tree, I felt like in the first year, let me read what I put here. I'm cutting out the living, growing parts. Like, the stuff that's growing, I'm supposed to cut out. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not right. I feel in the first year, like my tree, and I might have some pictures of this. Here I am cutting some trees. I'm hacking. I feel like there was nothing left. I told one of my kids, I was like, here, take a picture of me with these branches I had to cut off. So I'm cutting this tree. So I'm studying how to prune these, and my tree's growing. It's about this big. And it's in the ground and it's healthy and it's pushing out all these beautiful green leaves. It even has a couple of pieces of fruit. And then the dormant time comes and they're like, okay, cut it down to literally like a stick with like a couple, like maybe 4 or 5 little 3-inch nubs. That's it. It looks like I killed the tree. Okay? And I thought I was gonna cut off like a few dead branches, and when my first year when I was cutting this peach tree and I'm trimming it and I'm pruning it, I made 3 cuts of dead wood. I made 40 cuts of living wood. Let that one sink in. I don't know if that hits you, but that hit me. I was like, wait a minute. And this is where the Lord began to speak to me. I feel like he was like, sometimes you got to cut out the stuff that's growing. You got to cut out the stuff that's growing. Not everything that grows is part of your future. Man, you know what? Also, and let me backtrack for a second. There was another moment where I felt like the Lord kind of tapped me on the shoulder in the garden. And it was when I was underneath the trees and looking, and he's like, look at you caring for your trees. He's like, this is a picture of my love for you. He's like, I'm growing you. I walk around. I want to come out in the cool of the evening and look at your life and see where you're going and imagine your future. Man, just my time in the garden with the Lord is so precious. So the first year, this is what I wrote about the first year. First year, brutal pruning to almost nothing. It seems like I'm killing the tree. Okay? Seems like I'm killing the tree. Second year, agonizing cuts, removing most of the beautiful living growth, imagining the tree's future shape and size. The third year, I'm pruning many sacrificial cuts, letting go of early fruit potential for the promise of explosive growth, stability, and future fruitfulness. So, pruning back a tree like this, and I have my little trees, and for some of these trees, they're in their third, they're going into their fourth year. And I'm trimming them back, and that third year, once you make those cuts on the third year, it's like during that third year, you are going to get an explosion of growth out of that, basically it's called like a scaffold. You're trying to build a scaffold, four or five scaffolds. Okay, this was my tree in its second year. So it has a little bit of a shape. And after that year, I cut it down to this. I was hacking that tree. The crazy thing is pruning was so hard for me because at first I was cut focused. I was like, I'm cutting my living tree. Just the act of cutting a living thing is like very difficult, especially when it looks so beautiful, right? So I was so cut focused. It was like I felt this aversion to pruning because I tended to care so much about removing. I'm like, oh, this is so hard. I'm being so mean to the tree. I'm cutting. And then I went into a different phase. I got greedy. I'm like, I don't want to prune because I see some blossoms on this and I might get five pieces of fruit this year. And my farmer friend reminded me, don't even think about the fruit are going to be so bad those first couple years. He's like, let them go, prune them off. Cut focused, fruit focused, getting greedy, wanting the fruit too soon. I love this thing. I was kind of studying up on trees and pruning and planting trees, and they were saying this. They were saying a fruit tree and a stone fruit tree. They're like, here's what you need to know. Sleep, creep, leap. Everyone say that. Sleep, creep, leap. They would say the first year you put the tree in the ground, it's just going to sleep. All it's going to do is its roots are shocked, and it's going to get comfortable where it's at. It's going to find out where it lives. And its roots are going to like get comfy and cozy and find the nutrients. It's not going to do anything hardly. And meanwhile, up top, you're hacking it. Okay? The second year, it's going to creep out. That second year tree, you see, it was just barely growing. It barely pushed out about this much. Kind of creeped out underneath. It's starting to settle in. It's the growth down underneath is happening. And so now it's starting to grow. In that second year, it's starting to creep. The third year is going to leap. It's going to be like crazy. Like everything going on underneath the soil is pulling in so much energy and just going to launch out on that third year. And I was like, I am so excited. So as I'm planting my tree, one of the guys on our staff comes over and he goes, how long are you going to be here? And he's like, are you going to be here in 5 years? I was like, I guess so. And he's like, you're working on a project that is years. Quick commercial, when we're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're talking about something that sometimes takes years for God to develop in us. How many of you, it's taken years to become patient? That fruit's coming, don't worry. Sleep, creep, leap. Pruning becomes, I love this. This was another moment. I felt like I was in underneath this tree pruning. Pruning becomes an act of imagining the future. Cuts aren't taking away. Cuts are, ooh, this is going to be the shape of a tree. And I drive by all these beautiful orchards, and I'm like, one day, my little tree is going to look like one of these beautiful. I mean, this is like a 20-year-old, maybe 30-year-old tree. Here's some newer trees. Beautiful, like V-shaped. This is called a hedgerow, where they basically, the tree has two main scaffold on each side, and it's just going down. You can see that beautiful, it was blossom time. Oh man, this is my favorite orchard of the whole area. I drive by this orchard and I'm just like jealous. And it's just so beautiful. I saw it fruit out this year, it was so pretty. It's like I'm imagining the future of my trees. Pruning is also strategic. This is something I've learned. Thinning cuts, you know, just like stuff that needs to go. You go right near the trunk and just off with that whole branch, gone. Then you have heading cuts, which is like, here's a branch I want to keep, but if fruit grows on it, it's going to be too heavy. It won't sustain the amount of fruit that it's going to push out in the future, so I need to cut it back to one-third of its size. The thing that I want to keep even needs to be cut. I'm like, is there any part of this tree I don't have to cut? No. The answer is no. It was crazy. It's so strategic. In summer, one of my farmer friends told me this. He said, in the dormant times, he goes, you're going to cut everything that you want to grow. When it's dormant, when the tree is asleep, it looks like it's dead. It's just like, just sticks only, no leaves. All the leaves have fallen off. He goes, in that time, cut the things that you want to grow. It'll stimulate the tree. He said, in the summertime, cut the things that you don't want to grow. Isn't that so interesting? I found that so interesting. He said, in the dormancy, here's why. Because the tree goes to sleep, and that spring and summer, it grew to like right now, my tree is in its third, going on its fourth year. It's planted behind my house, right next to where my dad pulls his motorhome up to when he comes to stay. So his motorhome's there. This year, my tree is taller than his motorhome. Okay? It's taller than his motorhome. It leaped out, okay? And here's the crazy thing, is the tree leaps out, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut it back. I'm going to prune it as soon as the leaves fall off. But I don't prune the roots. The roots are ready to sustain everything that grew up top. It's ready to sustain all that growth, all that like 10 foot of growth. It's ready to pull out. As soon as the ground warms up in the spring, it's going to like suck up all those nutrients, and it thinks it's going to nourish a tree that's 10 feet tall, and the tree's going to be 7 feet tall, and it's just going to blast blossoms out of that tree. And my farmer friend came, and he goes, look, I like your tree. He goes, the pruning looks good. And he said, you're going to have hundreds of pieces of fruit on that single tree next year. I love it. It's strategic. My tree, here's another one that blew my mind. My tree is made for a shape of letting light in. My tree, my peach tree, is made. Its truest design is to grow into a shape that will let the light in. You know what's even crazier is that it wouldn't grow that way in the wild. It wouldn't grow that way on its own. But it's made to have its most fruitful life by being cut into the shape of a vase or those hedgerows, raising up its arms and scaffolds to the sky, not having anything in the middle, letting the light into the center. I mean, it's like the biblical story is like built into this. My tree is made for the shape of letting light in. What if I just said, my family is made for the shape of letting light in. My life is made for the shape of letting light in. My marriage is made for the shape of letting light in. Open up the center and allow the light all the way in. Here's my 2-year-old trees. I pruned them up. I did some summer pruning. And there's a couple right here, and they're this super hot, and they're in that vase shape, and they're reaching up, and the whole middle is cleared out so that the sun can come in and ripen up all that fruit. There's things that happen to the growth of a tree every single year, and one is called suckers, And another one, my farmer friend calls them pride branches, okay? So suckers and pride branches, okay? Now go back to that picture of the tree reaching for the sun. So that tree right there, I cut probably about 20 pride branches out of that tree. I cut about 4 suckers. Suckers are the little ones that grow out of the bottom. They want to suck all the nutrients out before they can go up into the branches. So you got to cut all those suckers off. Okay, I love that they're called suckers. Cut those suckers off. Okay, but then even worse are the pride branches. The pride branches, it's in that beautiful V vase shape, and these pride branches are on the scaffolds, and they want to grow on the inside of the scaffold up into the middle. And here's what they do. They grow so fast. So you would think, oh, they're growing. How great, my tree is growing. You know what they're doing? Stealing the light. You know why they grow fast? Because they want to get above the other branches and steal the light. They want to get out of the vase into the canopy of the tree and get the light first. That's why he calls them pride branches. He goes, you know what? It's built in. God wants us to know pride, first thing, out. Easiest cut. Easiest cut. Pride branches out. Pruning trees is crazy. It's fun. It blows my mind. Suckers and pride branches. This is what my friend Ryan Jackson said. He said, there's never a year when I don't have to prune my trees. There's never a year when a tree doesn't need pruning. I will never stop pruning a tree till the day the tree dies. Ryan has probably hundreds of thousands of trees. He's a stone fruit farmer. He's got hundreds of thousands of trees. He prunes every single tree, him and his crew, massive crews of people in the Central Valley, pruning every single tree. He said this minimum twice a year. Minimum. There's never a year where you don't need pruning or a tree doesn't need pruning. He said this. I said, okay, yeah, I understand the little trees. Yeah, you're trying to build their shape and their scaffolding and all that. And so it was like, what about the older trees? What about the ones that have their shape and all of that? He goes, you know what's crazy? He goes, yes, the older trees, they don't get as many suckers. They don't get as many pride branches. But you know what they do get? They get too many fruit buds, and they can't handle that amount of fruit without breaking. So you have to prune them. You have to prune the fruitfulness so that it won't be more than they can handle. Old trees produce less suckers, but more fruit buds than they can carry without breaking. Pruning, here's what I learned. Pruning, at first, I thought was like murder. Okay? I thought it was the worst thing that I could do for my tree. Pruning is loving. Pruning is me loving my trees. I love pruning my trees. Here's another thing. Not pruning a tree is actually unloving. Like, if you want a tree to have its worst growth in life, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Just be like, good luck. It's not loving, and it's actually very unwise. Any farmer in the Central Valley who doesn't prune their trees is probably out of business within a couple years. It's unwise. The Lord used this parable for a reason. I was driving, as I do. We live in the country, and so I'm driving the kids to school, and I drive by a lot of orchards, And basically, I felt like, I was like, Lord, I don't want to just study this passage to death. I was like, just speak to my heart in this passage. And as I'm driving, I'm just looking at these different orchards, and it was like overwhelming how there was this difference between an uncultivated field and a cultivated field. And I want to show you a couple pictures. This is what I saw in my drive. This is a stone fruit or a peach field with no farmer. At one point, it had a farmer. You can tell these trees have a nice shape. but actually they've died. Go back to that one, the peach tree there. This was a massive field, uncultivated. Depends only on rain. The farmer's not bringing more water. He's not in there pruning. Uncultivated field. Here's an uncultivated vineyard. Just grass and trees growing up in the middle, like huge weeds that have become bushes. No fruit on these vines. No fruit. And I took this picture last week during harvest time. It's grape harvest time. There's no fruit on those. Uncultivated. Uncultivated fields or vineyards. The uncultivated field or vineyard is not better. It's not healthier. It's not more fruitful. It's dying. An uncultivated vineyard is dying. No one is harvesting from a wild, uncultivated ranch. To grow alone in our wild nature is to die. To grow alone in our wild nature is to die. Cultivated trees and vines are thriving. A ranch with a farmer can be fruitful beyond the imagination. The wild, untended field will never be able to produce this kind of fruit. Pruning is a gift. Look at this. This is my favorite vineyard. It's right near our house. I drive by it. Look at that. There's 85 acres of that. 85 acres. I went to Target just now before we came over, just Target right over here. I looked on their shelf. The grapes from that packing house are on their shelf. Nice. Sun Pacific, this is a table grape orchard. This thing is just dripping with grapes, and I feel like the guys are like holding them like this, and they're like cutting them, and it's like, I can't wait to plant one of these. I want you to come to Gleanings and eat grapes with me, okay? Look at this beautiful vine and the branches and the fruit coming off. It's almost laughable between the uncultivated vineyard and the cultivated vineyard. You know what the difference is? This one has a farmer. It has a human being that walks around, many of them, and prunes and trims and looks and loves, who understands, but who cuts. So, how could a tree be made for something other than itself? Isn't that crazy? You would think like, oh, in nature, just let it be on its own. It's like, no, it'll die. How is that possible that a living thing needs another thing to thrive and to live? It's like, why is it not designed to grow best on its own? Because it's like, yes, there is a nature to this, but there's a deeper design. Do you guys, it made me think of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Remember the, I don't know, anybody, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe people? Do you remember the chapter where Edmund, he like did something wrong, and then they're like, he has to die because of the magic at the dawn of time. The magic at the dawn of time. And the witch was telling this to Aslan about Edmund. And then what Aslan came back a couple chapters later and said, but what she doesn't know is about the deeper magic before the dawn of time. You guys remember that? It's like there's a deeper nature that these vines have, that they're built for relationship. Isn't that crazy? Like, am I the only one? I'm like, with the plants, I'm like, this is crazy. You know, I was so crazy. I'm looking, taking all these pictures, and the farmers come up behind me, and they're like, hello, are you? Can I help you? And I was like, I'm just taking pictures. You know, I'm not stealing any fruit. It was so funny. I was just so fascinated by how the Lord speaks through these plants. And so I need to wrap this up, but I really want to, I have an insight that I looked at this and I was like, how, okay, Lord, I love it. Plants, you prune them, you do this. How do you do this to our lives? How does the Lord prune us? And I looked at the passage again and I was just really kind of looking at the original language. And this is what it says. It says, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes or while every branch that does bear fruit, he kathaire, prunes or cleans or purifies, the act of pruning, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already kathairoi. He's saying you are pruned. How? You're pruned how? Do you see the connection there? The pruning of plants and the pruning of people. What our texts say is, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean. That's what the translations say. But in Greek, it is not a different word. It's the same word. And you are pruned. You are pruned. How? I love this. You're pruned because of the word that I've spoken to you. His words prune us. What are the shears of heaven? The word of God. The word of God are the shears of heaven. When God walks around us, he speaks to us through the scriptures, through our time of prayer. He's pruning us through his word. He's pruning us through his word. His word, his voice, the scriptures, our time listening in prayer. It's like, this was on my heart in worship. What's the last thing that the Lord told you? What's the last thing that the Lord told you? The question on my heart was, have you done that? Have I done that? Have I obeyed the word that he put on my heart? A couple examples, and I love this because I was listening to Ryan's Tom Petty series, and in the last one or two, he said something that really stood out to me. He said, I live in the Gospels. I live in the Gospels. You know what that says to me? I'm being pruned all the time. God's just cutting and cutting and chopping. And to some it might seem like, wow, it's like God's just really hard on you. It's like God is growing me like crazy. He's growing me like crazy. I'm in the Word. What'd you say? I read the Bible twice a year. I'm jealous. I want to get pruned. I want to explode with growth. I'm trying to think of the things that God pruned out of my life. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, it's easy for me to talk about it, but it's like, okay, what does this look like in my life? Known sin. Like sin in our lives that has grown like a major scaffold. And it's trying to fruit out, and it's trying to fruit out, but it just can't. And God's like, you know what? The pruning shears aren't enough. This thing has grown so long, I got to get out the saw. One of the five scaffolds of my tree, trying to raise sin up to the Lord. He's like, this has got to go. Known sin. He's done it in my life. After that, crazy fruit. Crazy harvest. Hometown. This was my hometown. I grew up here. Born in St. Joe's. Went to Village Christian School. God's like, hometown, other scaffold. I'm like, God, my hometown? My family? Trust me. Trust me. That's why it's good to be back. There was one thing recently that the Lord was like, this is not part of your future. Let's just cut that off. I started listening to like a podcast. And I was like, oh man, I really agree with this guy. And he's just really, yeah, and this and that, and about culture and blah, blah, blah. And he's right, yeah. You know, and I'm like, and I just felt the still small voice of the say, like, pruning time. Pruning time. I want you in my word. I want you in my word. Out, podcast out. Something that I feel like the Lord's like, ooh, this one right here, this is what I like. I want, let's get some more of this. And let's cut this at an apical node and get this pushing out over here. Prayer with my family. He's like, when you're with your brother, pray with him. Why miss prayer? Let's grow that. Let's see what kind of fruit we can get off of this. He's excited about that part of our future and our family. Man. So here's some application questions. Where are you at? Where in this parable are you? Are you an uncultivated field? Are you an unpruned vine? Or are you a cultivated field? Are you a peach tree and like God is pruning the heck out of you? Maybe you're in your first year and you're like, I feel like God's cutting everything off. Where are you? Where are you in this story? one thing I see it, we need time with the gardener. We need time with the gardener. We need his pruning cuts. We need his cuts. We need to get good at listening to the voice of the Lord and living in the word of the Lord. And I really debated about that idea, that wording. We need to get good at listening to the Lord. But I'm like, you know what? No. We're so focused on getting good at so many other things. We can say, let's get good at listening to God. Let's get good at being in the scriptures. You know, you have a prayer class. Yep, a class. Let's get good at listening. Let's let the ancients teach us how to seek God. We need to not hate the word of the Lord. I don't know if you remember this, but in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 22, there's two kings. The kingdom is split apart. Jehoshaphat and Ahab, they're like, hey, remember this town up here? That belongs to us. Let's band together. Let's go get it. Let's go attack Syria and let's go get it. So these two kings are about to do it. And Jehoshaphat, king of Jerusalem and Judah in the southern kingdom, he says to Ahab, he goes, wait a minute, let's inquire of the Lord first. And he says, okay. And so he goes, let's get the prophets together. And so he gets the prophets together and he goes, inquire of the Lord for us. And these prophets are prophesying. And then Jehoshaphat goes, wait a minute, isn't there a single prophet of Yahweh in Israel? And listen to what Ahab tells him. Ahab says, yes, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of Yahweh, Micaiah, son of Imlah, but I hate him. I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me, only evil. You know why? Because he's prophesying the cuts. He's like, that doesn't belong. Sacrificing your children to rain gods? That's out. Saw time. Let's go. And he's like, I don't like that. I hate the word of the Lord. Generations later, exile. Yeah. I hate the word of the Lord. We can't be believers who hate the word of God because it might trim something out of us that we worship. Yeah. We got to let God get into us and prune us, even things we love. Like my hometown, it was like, God, and he's like, trust me. Trust me. What a story, hating the word of the Lord. So I want to just give you four prayers to end with here. And I feel like, and I don't know if you can see these, they're a little small. Yeah, maybe you can see them. And I want you to take a look at these. And I feel like these were prayers that I just wanted to offer you to go to the Lord on this. Lord, and just listen in on these prayers, okay? Just see which one knocks on your heart. Lord, I give you my life right now. I surrender to you, and I want you to cultivate me. I am uncultivated. I give you my life right now. I'm done. I'm done holding back. I need a farmer on my field. Lord, I'm sorry. I've been resisting your word and your voice. I turn to you. Teach me to listen. Lord, make your cuts with your word. I welcome your shears. What needs to go? What branches do you see that are not part of my future? I trust you. How about this one? Thank you, Lord. The cuts you've made thus far are good. They were gifts. You have shaped my life with your word. It's been hard, but you have provided fruit that will last. Lord, these are our prayers. Thank you for being our gardener who's coming underneath the branches of our life, looking, imagining our future. Thank you, Lord, that even the wild tree, you can come in and cultivate it. Thank you, Lord, that the very first thing you did in creation, what does it say? And he went in and he planted a garden. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Lord, we welcome it. And I just pray this weekend, as we have some time to sit and rest, that we would get into your word and we would put our ear to your heart. And we would allow you to speak into our lives, Lord. For some of us, this might be, we know it's good. For some of us, it might be hard. We know that there's things that you're wanting to remove. But we know that you're a good God and we can trust you because you gave your life for us. And in you is life eternal. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you so much for our time together. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. To learn more about Village Church, visit our website at villagechurchburbank.org.